Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for a wonderful time tonight. We just praise you, Lord, for all the prayers that are answered already and the ones are going to be answered. Thank you, Lord, for placing faith in our hearts to believe that anything that we pray, Lord, because the Holy Spirit leads us into these prayers, and we know for a fact that when we pray and we believe that our prayers are answered. And I just thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be an exception. We're going to get every prayer that's prayed in faith answered. And we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies that's going to come forth tonight and later on too. And we praise you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to pray for the things that you would have us to pray for. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special. And I ask and pray, Lord, that your spirit would guide each and every one of us into the things that you would have us to talk about tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that your love and your joy and your peace is resting in our hearts. We don't get anxious about anything. We don't look back. We look forward. We keep our eyes on you, Lord. And I just praise you, Father, for bringing us into that realm of this walk that you have us on, to look like you and to talk like you and to act like you, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I got one. I've got an old friend of mine from my childhood days all the way up through partial college that I had heard was had some cancer. And I called him the other night, talked with him a little bit, and he's had this for about 5 years, and it's really taken its toll on him. And he's got dyslexia also on top of that. He had a car wreck some years ago, and for some reason he can't, that dyslexia came on him. And he's got fear. All of these things that are associated with these types of things in his body. And I'd like to pray for him and believe that God's going to do something for Jimadale. Lord, I lift up Jimadale to you. Father, with his limited ability to understand the word of God because of his background, Lord, I ask for your grace and your mercy upon him. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for Jim and Dale. But I'm going to take authority, Father, as you've given that power and authority to each and every one of us. And I'm going to come against that cancer. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You leave his body right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you and I bind you up and cast you out of Jimadale's body right now in Jesus' name. And I command every cell in his body to be healed and be recovered and be restored as new in Jesus' name. And I command his eyes to be restored as new as well. I command that spirit of fear off of Jimadale. You go from him. You don't have any authority there. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave him right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for placing in him faith to believe it's done, it's gone, and all he has to do is thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. And I command that spirit of depending on doctors to leave him right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that Jimadale is on the road to recovery, and he is going to be a powerful witness for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And I praise you, Father, that Jimadale is healed, delivered, and set free from this enemy. And this spirit of infirmity has to go from him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Jimmy. I know it's done because your word says when we believe, We pray and we believe it is done. Glory to God. I don't care how far it is over there. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all believe that with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Jimmy Dale, you be coming up off of that. You come up off of that bed of affliction right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We give you thanks, Father. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? I'm on the attack mode tonight. Glory to God. Yeah, Missy. I'm tired of the enemy. Y'all tired of the enemy?
Oh, I about had it up to here.
I've had more than I could handle. I ain't going to take it no more. Bless God.
I'm right there with you, Michael. We're going to kick some you-know-what tonight.
Yes, ma'am. We sure are. Already done it. We just did it. Glory to God. All right, okay. Missy, go ahead if you can.
I caught a quick thing on the TV last night that Pfizer and Moderna has this pill. They're both bringing out a pill to treat COVID. And I don't trust it as far as I can throw it. But I asked the Lord, as if I really needed to ask him this, but I did anyway. I asked him if it was harmful. And I landed in the, by faith at random, I got Psalm 41 and the title of it. And the title is the psalmist in sickness complains of enemies and false friends. How's that for an answer? So anyway, I want to pray about that. Father, I just ask, Lord, that I'm sure people who are onto the whole jab thing, not being an actual vaccination, but a genocide agenda, won't believe this. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that people get a hold of that quickly and that know how to examine and find out what's in these and let the word get out very quickly, Lord. And but most of all, Lord, that your people, your elect, Lord, trust in you to be healed, Lord. That word get out first and foremost above all, and we just ask you for your mercy and grace on even the vessels of dishonor, Lord. Could you even have mercy on them sometimes, lots of times, and they're just clueless, Lord. But but we just ask you to get the news out, Lord, that this is harmful and what's in it, and let the people know. And that they get prosecuted for this too, Lord. And we just cast down this whole genocide agenda, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. What the Lord has put on my heart today is the children. You know, I'm reading the scriptures and we're saying that we must become as a little child in order to even enter the kingdom. And he said, suffer not the little ones to come unto me. And I mean, now they're trying to force these shots on the children. And so I just lift the children up to you right now, Father, the most precious of the kingdom. And I bind every work of darkness coming over them. And Satan, you will cease and desist off the children right now. Every foul spirit, every spirit of death, infirmity, sickness. And Father, we just loose the touch. Heather, all the children. Lord, we ask that your angels would surround them, your mighty angels, and that they would see these things manifest, these wicked men and women, and they would fear that even some of them would come to the Lord. And we give you thanks, Father. It is done.
Amen.
That your work is complete. It was finished at the cross when you have defeated every enemy in open show of them. We just praise you, Lord. We give you thanks, honor you, for the fight.
Amen. I put my faith up for William. We believe it so, Lord, that the children are protected in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, give the moms and dads some sense, a little common sense. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Some heavenly sense.
Yeah, amen. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Theo.
Hi, everyone. I just had a praise report. I got an email from our HR company, and there's all kinds of rules and regulations around this whole COVID thing. But they gave us an option to choose what our work environment is. Either we are office-based, hybrid, or fully remote. So I got to pick fully remote because that's what I currently do. And there are no mandates for fully remote employees. So praise the Lord. I still have a job.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord will provide either way. And amen. I praise the Lord for everything. And looks like I have a little bit more time here for however long the Lord deems necessary. So,
yeah. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for your brother now because he's been inundated with work. They're giving him 12-hour days. Lord, I just lift up Leo to you, and I thank you, Father, for scheduling back off of him. Let him have a little breathing room, Lord. He's been working these 12-hour days for quite a while. And, Lord, I ask and I pray for some relief for him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you for what you've done with Theo, too. You put him in a position where he can work without all that garbage on his face and jabs in his arm, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God. All right, Carol, go ahead. We can't hear you.
Did you say I can go ahead?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I couldn't hear that either. That's okay. God bless you guys. Jesus is Lord. Father in heaven is so magnificent, and the Holy Spirit is swirling about with so much love on his children right now. I do have a praise report, and I do want a prayer at the same time. I'm going to line up with Theo with the same thing, that I'm so, so grateful God has given me a job that's a home job, and that I can continue to be in working from home, and that our company has not gone as crazy as other companies. They're not requiring the passport, but there are companies that are requiring that even though you're working at home, you have to have the vaccination. So that's going to be my prayer, and you'll know why in a minute. My praise report is that lovely couple that my neighbors, the Chinese woman and her husband that's from Ontario, God is continuing to draw them to him. I didn't know this was going to happen, but we had prayed for, I had prayed for her mom, and her mom is in that home, and she's just been so at peace and surrounded, and that really drew in Jenny, the beautiful neighbor. And yesterday she invited me over for tea, and I really felt the Lord say, go for it. And so I went and I had tea with her and her husband. I brought some cookies, and I just think we're going to have tea, and I just think we're going to continue to just fellowship. And then suddenly I'm sitting on the floor with my dog, and she's sitting on the floor with her dog. And they start asking me about Jesus. I mean, I could not believe I was in the middle of this. I was like, wow. So they were asking me so many questions, and the Holy Spirit just kept giving me the answers. Guys, it's amazing. Like, you know, I just moved out of the way and let him speak. It was beautiful. I felt like all of heaven stopped breathing for a moment, and they brought all the peace on us. And just all I saw was how much he loved these two precious people that were admitting they're blocked. And here's the weird stuff. Okay. I think this was God giving me a little hug, because I just doubt myself. Well, I used to, excuse me, Michael, I'm going to correct that. I used to doubt myself so much. I'm going to correct before you correct. And thank you, Jesus. And so they said to me that they were drawn to my faith and want to have what I have. And I just thought, wow, that's like, wow. That was like God just giving me an extra boost. So I was praising the Lord about that. But it's not about me, really. It is about, I said, Lord, you know, this is Christmas, and I don't, you know, believe in Christmas, but I do believe in the best present is you. How can we draw people to you? So I've resisted going to any Christmas gatherings, and this is the couple that God has put on my heart. And suddenly he just opened up this night. So I did talk to them, and I told them about you guys. And I said, after they asked all these questions, I said, you know, guys, can I pray for you right now? And they said yes. They both said yes. So I prayed
awesome
that God would reveal himself to them, and I said that God was very personal. And then he gave me a very secret, beautiful moment that I had had in the garden with Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a horribly hard, difficult garden. But I explained to them a revelation I had gotten, and I saw them like just crying. So I know he's moving them. And then Alan is his name. Okay. He says to me, beautiful children of God, listen to this. He says, I read the Bible every day. And I go, you do? He says, well, I don't get it though. It's stuck in my head. It's like knowledge. But he says to me, I read it because I have a stutter problem. And then they had also said that they needed a sign that he was real. So I'm telling you all this because we really need the body to pray. And they told me to tell you guys that they do want prayer. So I said to Alan, before I was leaving the house that night, time literally stopped. And when I got home, I could not believe I had been there for 3 hours. It passed like in 5 minutes. And I slept like a baby. And then I said to the Lord, I said, before leaving, I said, you know, Alan, I believe that your sign will be God is going to heal you of the stutter. And I said, I believe you should get out of the Old Testament, because that puts a veil on us, and get into the New Testament right now. And then I said to Jenny, I felt in my spirit that God was saying, I want you to read the Psalms, because she is such a beautiful woman. She is gentle and meek and mild and just very, very a big heart. So that's them. This is what's happening. And we're just going to claim these little babies for Jesus. This is going to be the best Christmas ever, or Christmas, whatever you want to call it. So that's my story.
Okay. Well, let's pray for Alan then. And watch God do this. Is that his name? The stutterer?
Yeah, Alan, and she's Jenny, and they both said they feel they're blocked, but they are drawn to him and want to have it go from here to here, down to their heart.
Okay. Didn't you say one of them stuttered?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's a teacher, and he has a stuttering problem.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a sign to him. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that stuttering out of his mouth right now. You go from him and don't you come back in Jesus' name. I command complete relief from any kind of stuttering in Alan right now in Jesus' name. You stuttering demon, you leave him, and he has a smooth tongue now, and he'll be able to speak normal in the name of Jesus from this point on. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for opening up their spiritual eyes and ears to hear and to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the word of God. And Father, I ask that you place them into James that shows them how to walk as a Christian. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for bringing these two in a mighty way, because I know they'll affect a lot of other people too, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that it is done. Y'all believe it? And glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We thank you, Father, for bringing both Alan and Jenny into the kingdom and healing both of them in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we just command that tongue to be loosed in Jesus' name, and everything that's hindering their minds from receiving, every blockage, every lie of Satan, all the fog, all the vainglory, all the man's reasonings, carnal reasonings, we cast all that down. Father, I pray that you give them a revelation of you by the power of your Holy Spirit, because that's the only way it's done. They need to be born again. And I pray, as he's reading in the New Testament, Lord, that you make that very, very clear to him, and that you will reveal himself. And he just needs to see that you poured out your spirit, and it's there, and he wants it. And he'll get that revelation that you're going to show himself. You're going to show yourself to him and to Jenny, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for putting it in Jenny's heart, Lord, to read the Psalms as Carol told her to. And Lord, that you are going to speak to her there, that they're going to touch her heart, that she's even going to start, I don't know if she's musically inclined or not, but she's going to be praying and singing the Psalms and playing an instrument. I don't know if that's true or not, but I believe that, Father, you're going to do that for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Satan, we're putting you on notice. You're not allowed. Go ahead, Mama.
Father, they both confess they felt like there's something holding them back. And Father, what's coming to me is a spirit of rejection. I bind up that spirit of rejection, cast it down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you came to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, and I pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon them to enlighten the eyes of their understanding. And Father, your word says that a bruised reed you will not break, and a smoking flax you will not quench. And Father, these are coming to you, you know, confessing that they want Jesus. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you that there are no hindrances, and just retaining that outpouring of the Holy Spirit to grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is going to move on their hearts in a mighty, 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 mighty way. And Lord, just fill them with joy unspeakable and peace and grace. And Lord, I just thank you that even right now that there's the sound of abundance of rain on them, on their souls, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for anointing Carol and putting her there, and even using this situation where with her little accident, it's all working together for good on a number of levels. And you've even used it to draw her closer in with the neighbors and to open a door there. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. We look for just a mighty, mighty testimony and a great report here. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Glory, hallelujah.
Can I just add his son, her son, Jenny? She didn't ask for prayer for him, but my heart is that the job that he, because he's been without work for some time, and the job that he's about to get, it's with the government. And this is the job that is demanding that he gets a vaccination. He's resisted it till now. So I know that she's had the vaccination, but she has now become convicted not to get any more shots, and her husband too, because they know I did not. Okay. And I sense that the son, he said to his mom, so she must have talked about faith to him, because he said, I think it's a good thing, mom, for you to have faith. And I just sense this boy is next on the list. So I don't know how to pray, but I do want this boy to be protected from this vaccination, however it's going to be, that it could be a sign for Jenny. Maybe that's her sign, that if they suddenly hire him, but they forget to ask for the vaccination, whatever, something that's going to be so outrageous that she will know this is God that has bypassed the system to help her son get some work, because he has no more money now. It's really been tough for him. So I think this, I don't know his name, but we'll just say it's Jenny's son, basically, just to lift him up in our prayers as well as we go throughout this week. So bless them all. And thank Amen. You. Guys.
Bring the whole family in, Father. We thank you for that. We ask that you send the Lord of Harvest out to him, that the Lord of Harvest will send someone out there to him that he would listen to and come in, Lord, in a mighty way. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Lord, we thank you that Alan's healing, and they're coming in. We'll bring him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. I wish somebody would get excited now, because I'm telling you, I am full of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord of God, it's going to be an awesome time. Well, I'm going to have a good time, whether y'all do or not. Glory to God. That's just the name of it. All right, go ahead, Julie. You got two hands up, girl. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to praise the Lord. Andrew, you better get a smile on that face, man. Don't let me reach through there. Don't let me reach through there, brother. Amen. Hey, David. Good to have you on tonight. I know you've been working hard, brother. I guess you have.
Is that, am I supposed to confess my how hard it works? No.
Yeah, and it's over, so that's good.
Oh, it is
for me. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
No, I'm just gonna get being back on a normal schedule.
That's awesome. That was quick. That didn't seem like it lasted that long.
Well, I got, you know, when I got kicked out of work for the COVID exposure, then they ramped up 12 hours right then. So that's, everybody else was put through almost a month's worth of 12 hours. They're still going for a few more days. I got about only a couple weeks exposure. So, and I thought, oh, this is miserable. But, you know, yeah, I feel. Leo's been doing it for a long time. I feel for him. It just tears you up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to have to put Dave on the list there, Michael.
Yeah, he's already talking about it.
He's already on it. Everybody's already on it. That's my goal.
I need a little recoup time before I can come back up. So I did want to pray about, and I didn't raise my hand, but I want to pray about this. So the Supreme Court's going to be hearing on the mandates. I don't know if we prayed about that yet. They're doing a fast track on this. So they're putting it forward. They've been brought to court, and they're going to hear on two things. They're going to be hearing on the vaccine mandate for the vaccine or a test for workers at large employers. And they're going to hear oral arguments on that. And they're going to hear oral arguments on a vaccine mandate for healthcare workers at facilities that receive federal funding, which pretty much means anybody that, you know, get on a federal pay check, gets on any kind of federal money, they're going to have a mandate involved. So that's probably most your hospitals, I'd assume, you know, they probably get something. So, I know we have five, I think there were our five conservative judges, quasi-conservative, on the bench. Whether that means anything or not, I don't know. But, I think I want to pray that the Lord's favor on this. I don't want to pray that, you know, hey, look, this is not unconstitutional, this is unconstitutional and all that, you know, because that's, you know, the way the world's going, rights mean nothing. So we have to pray for the Lord's favor. And I think that's what we're looking at. And that's what he wants us to go in the direction of on all this. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. These judges, we don't know them personally. We don't know what's on their mind and what makes them tick and how they believe and what their focus is in life. Most of them have sworn to uphold the Constitution, of course, and uphold the law of the land, but that doesn't seem to mean much anymore. So, Lord, we're asking you to hold them up and your constitutions, your ordinances, and your ways, and what you say is right and wrong, and that be their conscience, Lord. You be their conscience on this. But we're asking that your favor be on for us, that we don't have to fall prey to this world and what they're trying to push on everybody with this vaccine mandate, because we know the agenda behind this, Lord, is definitely going to be the mark of the beast. It's going to be coming into submission to a one world order of some type. But right now, Lord, we're saying no to this, and we're saying this as a spearhead for the rest of the world, that this isn't the time that we have to fall prey to this unless it's your will and you make that known to us. But we're praying against it in the name of Jesus, and we're casting it down. We're asking that, Lord, you find favor for us on this, that this does not go through, that the justices see this as something that they cannot force on the American people, that just because we live in a country doesn't make us servants or make us slaves, doesn't make us property of a country. We have individual rights through you. You are our creator. You gave us those rights at birth, not the governments. We answer only to you, not to any kind of government society. So, Lord, we're asking for your favor on this in the name of Jesus, that this comes favorable for all people, that they see, no, this is not the way that you want things to go. But at the same time, Lord, we'll be submitted to your will and not question your wisdom in anything. So, we're praying against this in the name of Jesus, unless you give us some other way to pray against this or whatever it is you want us to pray. We're saying no in the name of Jesus. We swear their hearts to be contrary to this decision. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. All right. I just put up a list on the chat how everybody's going to work this next 3-4 months. Just about it. And I've got to ask some more here. Amen, Dave. I believe it. I believe that they're going to strike this down in Jesus' name.
Comes up on January 7th. They're going to start hearing oral arguments.
Oh, I understand that Trump's going in on the 6th. Might be a moot question. But, you know, I don't know. Go ahead, Isaac. Or Mariana.
It's me. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You can. Okay. I just wanna. I'm gonna say a prayer. Do y'all agree with me? Because I got an email from work saying that, just like David's saying, because this whole vaccine mandate thing, they wanna either you gotta get a vaccine or do weekly testing, and I don't even like doing weekly testing. So I'm just gonna pray. Lord, take care of it. Like Dave said, whatever his will is, or however, whatever he wants to do with this situation. And Lord, thank you, Father. We're here in agreement. And Father, it's in your hands. I'm really not too worried about it. But Lord, I know the power of prayer. and agreement. And Father, we know your power. And Lord, thank you for just keeping us hidden under your wings, Father, that you are our rock and our refuge and our salvation. Lord, protect every one of us here in the ministry. And Lord, these days have come. These are certainly interesting times, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you put us in these times. Lord, what an amazing time to manifest Christ. What an amazing time. It truly is. And just give us that peace, Father, your peace that transcends all understanding. The mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I'm trying to do two things at once, and multitasking is one of my more distinguished traits. Cool. Anybody else? You got to speak those things into existence, don't you? Go ahead, Carol.
Father, I want to pray also that, you know, just as Jesus was able to disappear into the crowd, the angry mob, that you would do that, raise that for all of your children, that, you know, if your children are in any kind of environment that is requiring the vaccine and or the mandate, that you would just slip us in and out. That is what I'm praying, Lord, that prayer that Isaac was talking about hiding us. That's what I was seeing. It's just like Jesus was able to slip in and out of the crowd. This is what I'm praying for the body of Christ, your children, and that we would have that faith and that boldness to be able to just go in and out and know that you have covered us and you do cover us and we cover each other. That your authority, your power, your wonder, your splendor, the faith you have given us, the truth, the sword, you hide us in your wing, and we will continue to fight the good fight, and we will continue to pray for others, Lord, to protect them, as we prayed for the children earlier that are being brought into these vaccinations. We are your children. We do believe you will hide us, and we are going to see some amazing things of how we will be bypassing many things that are coming then, and we will know it is you. That's what I'm saying. We will know it is you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Carol. Nope, I just forgot to put your hand down, didn't I? All right. Anyone else? You may look at the chat. I've got your schedule down there for when you talk to us. Go ahead, George.
I want to strike at the heart of this spirit of control that is trying to dominate the planet. Father, I come against the synagogue of Satan. I come against those who would try to make slaves out of everyone and keep your people in submission and subjection. Father, I thank you for releasing a sound money and a store of labor and a store of energy that is based on your truth and your integrity and justice. And Father, I ask that I speak confusion and release, I loose confusion to the plans of the enemy right now when it comes to manipulation of finances and currencies and these false, not federal, not reserve. There's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve, Lord, these private banking institutions that would turn us into slaves, Lord. I speak freedom and to let your people go from slavery, Lord, from from being debt slaves, that you would release true riches on your people, Lord. Father, I thank you for freedom, and I thank you for bringing an end that the Federal Reserve was brought into place December 23rd of 1913, 108 years ago today. So, Father, we've had enough. You've had enough. And, Father, I thank you for releasing judgment on false stores of labor and false stores of energy. And, Father, you would release us from slavery, Lord. Let your people go, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let true riches flow to ministries, Lord. We want to be able to give into every good work, Lord. So, Father, we've caught the enemy, and we demand a sevenfold return on everything that's been stolen, Lord, compounded 108 years flowing right now, Lord. And we thank you for that release in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God forevermore. Amen, Lord. You have stored up the riches of the evil for your people, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that it's going to happen very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Set your people free. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, Brother Michael. Hey, everybody. Oh, I'm good. Praise the Lord. How are you all doing?
Better.
Good. Okay. I just wanted to ask for prayer because on my Kia, the brake line, I think Morgan knows more, but the brake line rusted through, and he's had to work on it. So I just want to pray that Lord bless him with the knowledge, and it's an easy fix tomorrow, and that it gets fixed. And we don't have to worry about it anymore because sharing a car today was not the easiest. But I also, too, want to thank the Lord because I got in the Kia yesterday and the wheel locked up on me. And it wouldn't turn or anything. And I didn't even know that there was a problem with the brakes. I just thought the car wouldn't turn on, like the wheel wouldn't unlock. And so I was like, what's going on? So I called Morgan. And Warren came in there, and it turned for him, and he backed up and goes, oh, my gosh. He's like, what's going on with the brakes? And then sure enough, like, we were completely out of brake fluid, and the brake was rusted. So I felt like that was the Lord protecting me from driving 45 minutes back home with no brakes. So I just want to thank the Lord that happened. But, yeah, if Brother Michael, will you say a prayer?
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for placing wisdom in the bargain, getting that thing done and getting it completely fixed just within a little time. And we praise you, Father. It's going to be a quick fix. It's going to be a permanent fix in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for protecting Geneva as she drove with that mess. And we thank you, Father, that there was no wrecks, that your angels were round about her, protecting her. And we praise you, Father, for keeping that army of angels around you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. It ain't going to be no big deal, Morgan. It's going to come right off. You're going to put the new one on there, and it's going to go.
Amen. We believe it.
Amen. Yeah. Only thing you're going to have to do is, what do they call that when you pump it up, release it, pump it up and release it?
Bleed it.
Bleed it, yeah. Yeah, you got to bleed it out, but that's all. He knows that. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Rayon. Amen.
Just a quick, small little praise report. Both Claire and Daniel came down with a bunch of headaches and scratchy throat and so on, and it affected Daniel quite a bit just the last couple of days. But yeah, the Lord's healed him completely this morning. When he woke up, he was 100% fine. But something that's quite acute that I might just share is he's been going through a lot of trials, actually, the little boy, but he's really working things out for himself. And the other day we had a chat to him, and he said that he thinks that he's received the prayer language from the Lord, but he's very shy, you know. So he's like, no, he's just whispering it. And we thought, oh, you know, maybe we were happy about it. We thought, oh, I don't know if he's just saying it, you know, like, you know, to be part of the cool club or whatever it is, you know, like. And so we just left it, and we thanked the Lord, and we said, yeah, that's fine. We believed him. And when I was praying for him, I think it was last night, two nights ago, I was praying for him and for the healing and everything. And I started praying and in the spirit, and as I was praying, I realized he's whispering along as I'm praying. It was so cute in his little language. I thought, oh, that's just so sweet. And the Lord blessed him. He went to sleep yesterday fairly early and woke up this morning 100% fine. So yeah, again, he knows it's the Lord. There was nothing else. So I just want to thank the Lord and praise his name.
Praise God. I'll tell you something. Even if he is just trying to play along with it, God will give it to him while he's doing it.
Yeah, that's what we thought, and we said, kind of, yeah, we'll encourage it and go, yeah, of course, you go ahead and
absolutely,
and we pray for, you know, confidence and things like that, and we've prayed for all our children to receive that gift eventually, and we'll just leave it in God's hands.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah, Dave.
I'm sure you have, but you've prayed that they receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you put your hands on them.
Yeah, we haven't made a big deal of it. I think we've privately we've spoken to them about it, and then we've prayed together that they would receive it. Yeah.
Yeah, we've put our hands on them and prayed for them, but it wasn't like that's one of the things you do. And then, I mean, you know, the kids get dreams now and again, and Tabby's had a prophetic word here and there, and Daniel's now got this little language that's developing. I asked Mika yesterday, I said to her, you know, it seems like your brother maybe has his prayer language. There's nothing stopping you from receiving it. Like, it's there. You just have to believe it. And she's like, Mommy, you don't want to play around with the Holy Spirit. So I said, no, you don't. So yeah,
he's
so
working out.
Yeah, while we were washing. So yeah. I just pray that they will be emboldened, and that it's not a race and it's not a competition, and
right,
that know that it's just it's a free gift.
It's and there it's for there, them. Yeah.
We prayed for them, so it'll come.
Yeah, you keep encouraging them. You're doing the right thing, and then you encourage them and say, yeah, remember we prayed about the Holy Spirit and you received it, and thank you, Father, and just all that constant encouragement. It all comes out. It works out, you know, so good.
Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I just got home, so I just came on late, so.
Well, don't you know I had to work. Do that again.
I had to work for 8 hours today, so it was an excuse.
Not 8 hours. Oh, my. That's awful.
Yeah. I have to do the same shift again tomorrow.
Get out of here, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I have to be there at 9 in the morning.
Get that early? Oh, my goodness.
I have to be there at 9 in the morning till 5. On Christmas Eve.
Oh, man. That's all right. You'll make it. I guarantee you. You'll be fine. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for giving Nick the energy and the strength to carry through with these long hours he's got in these days we're in now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Nick, you'll make it now, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Can I add to that prayer, Michael?
Yes, you can.
Father, thank you so much for giving Nick everything that Michael has prayed. And I also pray that tomorrow Nick is filled with the joy of the Lord, and that
amen,
everywhere he looks and everywhere his foot touches, he is bringing the kingdom to everyone tomorrow on Christmas Eve, and that it won't be joy because of jolly sweets, but it will be joy because that there is a true well of truth and love in this man who is living for the Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing him and blessing all those around him tomorrow. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. You're going to be alive tomorrow, Nick. Just turn it on when you want to, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. What's that on the back of your head?
Oh, it's the Mackinac Bridge.
Oh, okay. Well, I meant there's something red and white on the back of your head.
Oh, that's my Jeep sign. I have a Jeep sign in my room.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Bless you, brother. All right, anybody else? Who is the other iPhone? Who's the iPhone there? I wonder. Come in.
It's probably, yeah. Michael, it's probably me, Judy.
Oh, okay, probably me. What's up, girl?
Oh, God is. God, Jesus is up. Thank you.
All right. Merlene there, will you?
Yes, but she just went to bed.
Oh, okay.
But she's doing great. We're doing great.
All right. That's great.
Thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your protection around about Judy and Merlene both. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Claire. Most people unmute before they start talking, but we can't hear you.
You can't hear me, Michael? Oh, sorry.
It was good. It was really good.
Oh, it was so good here, too.
The silence, right?
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, Michael. So Ed and Rian are going through a bit of a trial at work. And it's heavy on my heart, and I'd like all of you to lift up these beautiful men of valor. The island's gone mad because they've opened their borders for the zombies to come, and so everyone's scared of COVID. And the mine hasn't had any impact on production or anything since COVID started 2 years ago. And yet now there are more restrictions in place than ever before. These men have to sit in the offices with masks on, and it's hard. I know that sounds, you know, there's people with, like, I know there are worse problems in the world, but it is difficult to have a mask on your face the whole time and pray, you know, and live a normal life. This is not good. This is not natural. But I'm unsure how to pray, because this is what the management have said.
Well, we have to wear only a mask if you are two together. So if I'm alone in my office, I don't have to wear a mask, but that's okay. I don't have to sit with it the whole day. But now everybody is just isolating basically in their offices. No one's talking to each other. Edwin and I had to have had a meeting today for what, probably an hour or so, Ed. And it was, you know, we were then you have to wear a mask the whole time. And it, you know, it's just,
they're also wearing little trackers. So, you know, like Biden's got on his foot while Rian's got one on his
Yet, love. We don't have those yet. No, it's coming.
It's coming. And I just don't understand it. And so if we could just pray that the Lord would pour out his grace on the management. I think I'll start praying, and then if somebody can, you know, bring up the rest of the things I maybe miss. But Father, you are perfect in everything, and you design every trial for the refining of your saints. And we are joyful in all tribulation. But Father, we know that you've created our bodies to require a certain level of oxygen throughout the day. And we also know that you have created us to have a certain level of human contact throughout the day. And so Father, I pray that these free men, who are free indeed and have been bought and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, can continue their freedom, and that you would hide them in the secret place of the Most High. As you have, and as you have with this town, Lord, we have yet to have a COVID case here. So, Father, I pray that you would you would continue your grace and mercy. Father, I pray that you would enlighten a member of the management team to sensible logic and truth, the only truth, which is Jesus. I pray that there would be a turnaround in these requirements. I pray that over this next week, where the men are away from work and they're with their families and enjoying fellowship together, that you would repeal some of these restrictions and they can start the new year fresh with enough oxygen through the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I just pray and I ask that supernaturally that you take these masks off, even though they have them on their face, that there's no restriction whatsoever in their oxygen content and just dispelling the carbon dioxide. And I praise you, Father, that it's going to be just like a barbed wire fence out there, that they're not breathing on nothing. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Do that, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Supernaturally, and I believe it. Yeah, Missy. You had your hand right in my face.
Put air conditioning in those masks too, that they not feel hot. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen. Amen.
And not get all cleaned up and moist and wet. You just take all that out in Jesus' name.
Yeah, no varmints growing on the inside. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Yeah, Dave.
You mentioned some kind of a tracking system. Lord, we come against that. They don't have no right to track you. They're not prisoners. We're not criminals. They've done nothing wrong. Father, we come against this. Again, this is that ultimate control of the beast, wanting to lay hold of every individual and control every bit of their lives, what they do, what they say, where they're at. Lord, we're coming against that now, but when we disagree with it, we just don't agree with this. But not we're trying to be rebellious to you, Father, if that's what your will is, to make us, bring us under subjection for to be submitted in prayer to you and the wait for your salvation, if that's the case. But right now, if we can pray this down, Lord, we come against it in the name of Jesus and say, no, this is not your will that we be under man's dominion like this. But again, we pray for your wisdom on this and what you want. It's not, we're going to pray against your will. We want to pray against this because we know it's not what you designed the world to be. But if this is your way to train us or bring us up in your kingdom, well, then let us know that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was sitting here thinking, Rian and Edwin, that you could do like the king with no clothes on. You know, you could say, I've got a mask on. You can't see my mask. It's there. If you can't see it, it's not my problem. I have one on. I put it on this morning. I did just like this. I got it on, bless God, and it was working. Now get out of my office. All right, Edward, go ahead, brother.
Thanks, guys, for praying for that. I just need to, in terms of that, I also need to confess or that I sometimes, with all of this, forget that our fight is not against flesh. Every time they come and speak to us about like this, when we had that meeting again this day, today, we didn't have our masks on because only us two in Rian's office. And one of the managers came by and said, yeah, he's going to probably have to report us because we don't have our masks on. And it's against the law. And I immediately say, which law are you talking about? It's not against the law. Instead of just remembering that I'm not fighting against them, I'm fighting against spirits. And I should have just said, yeah, okay, I'll put it on and maybe pray for it instead of trying to fight against him. So I think if we can just pray for that as well, for us to remember that in these trials.
Go ahead, Dave.
You know, I think you've seen Paul's would question Not that I'm trying to make us rebels, but he would question authority on their decisions for as a Roman citizen's perspective. I think, you know, if you're being respectful to people and not angry, but just bringing out, hey, what is the law on this? Or is there really a law? And asking people to verify things, that's one. That's not really being disrespectful or being a bad witness of Christ as much as it's just making sure everybody agrees that what we're supposed to all be minding to, you know, and being on the same page so that we're not causing any kind of confusion or situations like this to come up where if something's wrong, it's wrong, or they said something right, they're right, and we just go along with whatever is, you know, the law might be of the land at the time. There's nothing wrong for clarification. You know, that we shouldn't feel like that's something wrong there. But as long as we're not getting worked up inside, you know, and letting our emotions take over, it's okay to question things. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, so I just wanted to say that. I mean, not being a bad witness if you're just, you know, asking for the truth.
Lord, we just ask and we pray that whatever you want to do, Lord, that's what it will be done. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for getting all this stuff out of here, out of this world. This is craziness, but it's something that I feel like at some point in time it's going to come in. You may be acclimating us to it, but Father, it sure is kind of disturbing to us. We ask, Father, that you take all that out of us, put the joy and the peace in our hearts, get a smile on our face, just be you for them in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Amen. I can't understand the diaper on the mouth, Dale, when they've already said that those things are not, they don't work. They're not, that's like trying to hold back a water in a barbed wire fence. But anyway. What are you talking about, David? They're really useful if you spend a lot of time outside in summer so that you don't get burned. Where you wear them.
And that's the buffs. Claire has it on her head right now. You use them around your neck, especially for hiking, because they're so breathable. If you pull it over as a mask, you could breathe very, very easy with it, as if you would put one of those masks that they want you to put on. A lot of the people here wear buffs because they make no difference with breathing. But it looks like they have a mask on, you know, just to say I got something on my face.
Oh,
but
you talking about what something like Marilyn's got on there? You look pretty in that, buddy. Oh, you're talking about what Claire got on. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah, I use them for fishing so the sun rays, because they're UV protected and you don't get burnt with them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It looked like it'd keep you hot. Okay. Anyway, quit fishing. Let's go fishing. All right. Anybody else? Look at that. That's Babe. You got something, Babe?
I was just wondering if that was... I'm sorry, I'm still muted. Sorry about that. I just wonder if that was a buff that she had on.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I could go somewhere with that, but I ain't going to go there. All right. What now? Yeah, Greg. Okay. Yes. You said it. Oh, my goodness. This is a family room. Come on now. Next. Anybody else want? You got something y'all want to talk about? Yeah, Isaac, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I just wanted to point something out. I'm not sure I'm passionate to talk about this, but just something I wanted to point out is that, you know, we're talking about this whole vaccine thing, and it just seems so funny that people are so excited to comply. You know, well, yeah, sure, I don't care what's in it, but I'll take, matter of fact, I won't just take one, I'll take two, right? Well, give me three. And it's just, it's wild, but when I read the word, it keeps coming to me. And I just want to read these two verses to you guys. Well, it's a few verses, but anyways, right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, I'll start at verse 1. It says, "And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein ye once walked according to the course." Now, that word course, if you look at in my Bible, it has like a footnote on it. If you look at it, it says the words age. So the trespass and sins, wherein you once walked according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. In this verse here too, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "We seek wisdom, however, among them that are full grown. Yet a wisdom not of this world," which that the world, the word in the footnote, there's a footnote for world, and it's also age, "nor of the rulers of this," let me start over, I messed up. "We seek wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this age, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught. But we seek God's wisdom in a mystery, even in the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory." And it's just, I think about this so much is, you know, people, we look back on history, and sorry if this is long-winded, but we look back on history and we say, how did the Germans ever do that? Don't you know better? How did it ever happen? Well, that would never happen. We've learned a lesson. And what it says, Ecclesiastes, God required the past to happen again. And so it's crazy to me that every age, you know, like the word is world, every age, there's something new. There's something that sweeps the minds of people, and we're seeing it firsthand. And people are just totally on board with this to the point to where they become servants of it. You know what? I might be butchering this, but it says, I think in the word it says, I don't know where it's at, it says, "Don't you know you are bondservants to whom you obey?" Well, and you're seeing it. You're seeing the principalities in this world, and you're seeing it cover the minds of the peoples and the masses of this age. And, you know, you've heard of groupthink. Well, you might think of it as age think, and it's the same thing. We're seeing it, and it just blows my mind. But really, that's why I just wanted to say this. With the dueling of the people's minds and the people's hearts are waxing cold, as says in Matthew 24, it's such an important time to have the mind of Christ. You know, and that renewing of our mind continually. And I just wanted to state that because I think about it, it actually gives me it actually increases my faith. That might sound morbid, but to see people in one accord for this nonsense, man, there's powers at work here. And it just increases my faith. I don't know, it just does, but I want to share that. Just kind of think about it for yourselves and I don't know. And when you see these things come up on you, don't think no strange thing of it. You know, it's it is only but a trial. And I don't know. Thanks.
Amen. Just a trial, just a thing. It's just a thing. You think it's tough now? Wait until the tribulation in just a few days. Just saying. And you think the tribulation, the first 3.5 years of tribulation is bad? Wait till the last half of it. Amen. I'm looking forward to getting it because that means we're that much closer to getting home. Lord of God. The thing about the tribulation is we're going to see some mighty miracles of God. Glory to God. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I don't care what these clowns are doing that are running the place. It makes no difference. We're protected. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, after you just said that, you know, just some verses that came to me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the Lord said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are just three things that came to me. So, amen, Lord.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add? I'm going to throw something out there. And that's when that's when the beast takes over everything. That's when the killing, really all the good killing starts.
So that's what I was thinking. So the first half, we don't see that big clamp down where everybody loses their freedom yet, right?
Not like the second half, no. But you are going to see natural disasters and wars and all that kind of stuff, you know, as it talks about. So it's going to be tough for those who aren't Christ. But the first half is to bring the people out of the churches. It's to get them out of those apostate religions and bring them into the kingdom. That's when the kingdom is going to be populated. It's during the first half. First 3.5 years. That's why he's getting us ready to be disciples for those people, because they don't know. They're going to see the signs and wonders, and they're going to say, well, how come we don't see that in my church? I want that. You know, I want to be that close to God to where I can lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. I want to see the power of God in my life. I want to see overcoming power from these addictions that I have, you know. They're going to see it. They're going to see the light of the gospel on everybody that's out there. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, when you go on YouTube, they say that Isaiah 53 is the forbidden chapter for the Jews. But I'm beginning to wonder if those last five verses of the chapter 16 of Mark is forbidden for the Christians. You know, from verse 15 to verse 20 in Mark 16. You know, these signs that'll follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. You know, this is supposed to be a natural item for all of them after they receive their salvation and their baptism and their repentance from sin. And kind of wondering if the church thinks that you know, they go over there to try and witness to Jewish people, and they show them Isaiah 53 and they say, this is your forbidden chapter, you can't read this among Jewish people. And when they read it, some of them get saved. And I'm just kind of wondering if the same could be said for the church for the last five verses of chapter 16 in Mark. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
It's just a comment that I'm saying, you know, just in case anyone else is going to come in and listen on this, you know.
Okay, anyone else? All right, what y'all want to talk about? Anybody got a question or answer? I was just actually what Andrew was talking about. I was this afternoon, I was writing down some verses that goes along with that, Andrew, and that's Matthew 10, 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's a good one. And then another one is Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure sicknesses. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. And then Luke chapter 9, verses 4 and 6. And into whatever house you enter, there abide, and then go out. And as many as receive you not when you go out from that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a witness against them. And they went out and went throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Everywhere. Amen. Not just in a little bitty fellowship. They went everywhere. They went all over the world in that area and healed the sick and raised the dead, cleansed the lepers. And they did it with their faith. All right. I'm getting to go into something here yet, but I don't want to go into it just yet. Anybody else? Let me tell you a little story. When I first came into the kingdom, I've told you the story about the guy that healed that prayed for my shoulder, and God healed it. And I locked up in with him. We had more healings out on the street than people did in churches. And the reason that we had more healings on the streets than we did in the churches is because people didn't have strongholds in their minds about who could God heal and who couldn't heal and what hindrance there was to healing. We just did it, gave them the gospel, hooked them up with people that would disciple, and then we'd go to the next one. And saw it happen time and time and time again. There's an old saying that facts can be proven by science. And truth is truth and can't be changed. But facts can be changed by truth. And there's another old saying that Lake used to say, the only hindrance to healing or deliverance is to believe that there is a hindrance. Yeah, think about that. Okay, or deliverance, or anything as far as that goes. Yeah, babe.
I can say I remember the first time I prayed for a woman at a church I was going to, and she just wanted prayer, and I was with her son, and I can't even remember what it was for, some kind of knee issue or something like that. I don't know. But I said, oh, she just wanted me to pray for her, and I said, okay. So I prayed in the name of Jesus that her knee or whatever it was would be healed, and the pain would go away, and she said, oh, okay, it's gone. And I was surprised too, because back then I didn't, you know, quite understand how that worked. I just kind of went along with it, thought this is what you do, and had, you know, no clue. But, you know, that even then, God uses those circumstances in people's lives just to confirm his word, confirm his the method in which we do. We pray for each other and honor that. She was willing to receive it. She was willing to receive it. And I was willing to pray. And I didn't have any understanding of faith and how that worked. So that's why we see the miraculous signs we see so easily out in the world like that. If it's a way for the Lord to confirm his word and get people, you know, on fire and curious about the gospel and the truth. And that's what Jesus did when he was healing the multitudes, and then he was teaching. You know, and so he was bringing people into the kingdom, and that was the signs and wonders were there to confirm the word, you know. So we definitely will see that, and it's not something unusual, but we can expect it because that's how God's going to confirm his word, you know.
Amen. What happens a lot of times is we get these things that preachers tell us why they looking for excuses why they didn't get somebody healed. And a lot of times, I've been looking at what Jesus did, and that's what I've been looking at, what he did. You look at what he did, watch what he did, when he went out and preached the word and healed all. He didn't ask them any questions. He didn't try to find out their generation. He didn't do anything. All he said was be healed, right? And if Jesus is inside of me and he brought all his stuff with him, when he came in, then we have the same power and authority that Jesus does. Think about that. When we pray, we're not praying from our faith. We're praying from Jesus's faith. We trust him to believe, because we can't do anything except believe that God's going to do it through us or do whatever it is that we pray for. We've seen prayer after prayer after prayer answered here. A lot of times we get to thinking that it's our faith that's holding us back. Well, don't depend on your faith, depend on God's faith. His faith is a whole lot better than our faith. When we depend on God's faith, we're going to see miracles. And I'm just now coming back into this. Because I remember when I was praying on the streets, I just believed God was going to do it, and he'd do it. I'm telling you, it would just work. And it didn't make any difference if they went to the church or the burning bush or whatever, or if they didn't go to church, God would heal them. And I remember a couple of times telling people, if God did this, would you come to Jesus? And God did it, and they did. Yeah, Missy.
What just came to me when you were saying about God's faith, what is God's faith? God's faith, he spoke everything into being. That's God's faith. He spoke it and it was done. He said it, it was done. So we believe it. We believe his faith. We believe what he said. We believe all of this he said by the power of his Holy Spirit. He says you just believe it. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. You just believe it. Just like a little child, you know, believes everything that their parent says. You know, children, you know, children are so easy to, it's horrible to say, but they're easy to, it's easy for them to believe a lie because they wouldn't think that you would lie to them. You know what I mean? But God doesn't lie. So that's just what I'm talking about, the innocence of a little child. God would not lie to us, you know. So that's what faith is. And we can, our words have just as much creative power as God's does. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, everything that we say creates something, whether good or bad. You know, it's really basically either you're going to speak blessings or you're going to speak curses. I'm going to speak as oracle of God's, agree with God, speak as he spoke. You know, and that's speaking the blessings, speaking in an agreement with him. Anyway, that's just.
Amen. That's the truth. And I like what Judy says. And we trust God like a little child trusts daddy and mama, that they're going to put food on the table when they need it. They're going to do the things that they need. And if we do that with God, when we need him, I'm telling you, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see miracles because he'll use you because he knows that you believe when you trust him implicitly. You see somebody that needs help, go help them. Yes, Rion.
I think to add on to what Missy is saying is that God's faith is also, you know, seeing the end from the beginning. I mean, he did it first, calling the things that are not as though they were. You know, that's basically speaking everything into existence. He's calling the things that are not as though they were, and it's already done. And then he gave us not a clue, but he gave us the assurance or the conviction that what the end is, so that we can already see the end as well, just like he can see it, which is having God's faith. And that is everything that's written in the word. So there's no, it's not a gamble. It's not a, by his will, or it's not a, I hope so, or it's a, maybe he will, maybe he won't. And the reason we know that is because he says, well, one, he says we should have his faith. And he said, and I'll show you what that is by his word. By studying his word, you know that that's the truth, and that is, that's a fact. It's not a gamble. It's not a lotto ticket that you're hoping to win. If that's kind of what you're saying, Michael, when you were out in the street praying for someone, is that you just know that God was going to do it. Because one, you knew that you couldn't do it. Just we know we can't do it. But we just know that everything, our whole life depends on God not being a liar. That's all of it. And he's never failed us yet. He has every single time he has stuck to his word for thousands of years, and he's not going to change. And no, that is how we can have his faith, because we believe him and we trust him just like a child. And I have let my kids down a whole bunch of times and not done what I said what I was going to do. And they still trust me and still believe me. How much more should we believe and trust our Father in heaven, who has never let us down and never will?
That's exactly right. I remember a story about this man that got shot by his uncle. And they didn't expect him to live. And they asked this guy to go pray for him. And he went and prayed for him, commanded him to be healed, because his family members had asked him to go pray for him. And then afterwards, the next day, one of the family members came by and told him this. He asked him, he said, how's he doing? He said, he died. And the guy told him, he said, And the guy was watching him to see what he was going to do. And he said, what are you thinking? He said, I'm not thinking anything. And the guy kept bugging him and telling him, he said, and finally he told him, he said, I just believe my prayers. I'm not going to go back on what I pray. And when he left, when the other guy left, he got by himself and he asked the Lord. He said, Lord, he got blunt with him. He said, now, I'm in this all the way. I prayed a prayer of faith for him. If you can't back up what you say in your word, I'm getting out of the ministry and I'm not going to do this anymore. Either he lives or I get out of it. Because I can't go in here without knowing that you're going to back up what I pray. Guy called him. He said, guess what? A little bit later. Said, guess what? He said, I don't know what. He said, he's alive. He said, he's up. And he's walking around. He's going to be okay. Sometimes we have to get mad. That's the endurance in your faith you have to have. You have to have that faith to believe that God's going to do it. I'll tell you another little story. This is John G. Lake's story. Lake was in his office one day, and this guy came in there. He came hobbling in there. On a crutch, and this guy told him, he said, I want to see if you can heal me. He said, I'm a Catholic. I forget what all he said. He was real negative anyway. He said, can you do anything? He said, I don't believe you can heal me. That's what he said. He said, I don't believe you can heal me. This is a businessman in the town. And Lake laughed at him. And he got up and he shook his hand. And he kept holding his hand. He said, I could feel the power of God going in this man while he was holding his hand. He said, I never prayed for him. I sat there and I had a little talk with him. And I said, I gently got the crutch away from him and set it over there out of the way. And I finally... And the man said, and Lake got through talking with him. And he said, I'll see you later. Guy turned around and walked out. Lake hollered at him while he went on down the hall. He said, "Do you want your crutch back?" He looked at him. He said, "All the hell with it." Lake said, "Well, that's a good place for it, too." The guy was healed and didn't even know he was healed. Well, going out the door. That was somebody that was not saved, and God did it. That's what I'm saying. We can't limit God because of what the church has told us over the years, you know. It's an out for them to try to squeeze out from them being at fault. I always put myself at fault when somebody doesn't get healed, like my, well, I won't go into that, but anyway, it puts you into going deeper into the Word and finding out what's going on. Why are these things happening? And when you do that, you'll get closer to God and He'll start showing these things to you. You know, what we have to do is be perseverance in our quest for maturity and perfection in Christ. So that when these things come up, we will have the wherewithal, just like the guy did when he told God, "God, if you don't do this, then I'm getting out of it because I can see right." We have to have that type of an attitude. And I believe we do. All right, Dave, go ahead, brother.
I mean, with that said, still, Jesus couldn't do mighty works in his hometown. Because of their unbelief.
You know why?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because of their unbelief, not his.
Right.
But wait a minute. The ones he came to got healed.
Yeah.
It's the ones he didn't.
Well, they didn't want to believe that he would or could.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault that they didn't come to him. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's good. I'm just thinking about things. It's just, you know, I'm impressed with Lake had that overpowering sense of he wasn't frustrated by somebody's unbelief. He still carried through and manifested that healing for that man, even through his unbelief, you know.
But you remember what he said, what Lake always said, Romans chapter 8, what is it? The spirit of the law in Christ.
A law of the life of Christ Jesus made me free from law of sin and of death.
Yeah, he believed that too. And he would tell the people while he was talking, he would tell them, he said, "When I speak the word of God, that goes into you in every cell of your body. And into your brain," he said, "it'll go into your brain." And people years later, I'm talking back in the 80s, that were still living in their 90s, could remember those sermons that Lake taught back then because of that. Guy asked him, he said, "Well, how can you remember all of these little minute details and what day it was and all of this and what he preached?" And they told him, because Lake told us that we could. And it was the Spirit of God that went in us and placed it in there. There's a science to that. You know, Blake was kind of a scientific-minded guy.
I can see where that, for me particularly, where I might be discouraged in my faith for somebody if they're not believing and don't have faith.
That guy was in his office. He came to his office. He came to Lake's office, you know. So he's standing before the representation of Jesus. And Jesus never turned anyone away. He had him in his hand. Like, it's not likely for a person to go to a person, say this, and come to his office unless the Lord sent them there to do something. That's what came to me. You know, the Lord orchestrated this now. even for him to put that crutch away. But you know, that must have been real interesting for that to happen. You know, I would love the Lord to orchestrate things like that for me, man. Like, it's part of your journey, you know. It should be part of your journey. This is your journey, you know. Everyone has a journey. Sometimes we think we're not on the journey anymore, but I don't think so. I think we're on that journey. And we just got to go with the Lord, you know. Sometimes, you know, you were holding your parents' hand. You didn't know where you were going. And they took you where they wanted to take you, you know. And good thing if it was the ice cream shop, you know. But but you got to go where he takes you.
Well, he's already told you where to go.
Yeah, you know, I'm just commenting. I'm not trying to say anything, you know. Like, he's almighty. He knows what he's doing. We don't, you know. And
we don't have to, do we?
No, he'll do it. It's just that sometimes we really want a heads up on things. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why it's real vital, you know. What the Lord's been revealing to me lately, especially, that my words are spirit and life. How vital it is, son, that you know this. When you speak my words, it is spirit and life.
Yeah, I like what it also says in Luke 1:37, I think it is. For it's the numeric version where it says, for no word of God shall be void of power. You know, for some reason, I think that the Christians aren't looking at their New Testament. Like, the Jews really believe their Old Testament is the word of God. You know, I don't think they see it that way, like they should see it in some of these Christian circles, you know. This is as word of God as the Old Testament is word of God, and there are people out there who have a very close relationship with the Lord, and you know, the man child's coming. I believe a new fivefold ministry's coming. So somewhere out there, there's got to be some prophets and apostles out there.
Amen, brother.
Praise God to that. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why it's vital, you know, to renew our minds. You and I always pray for the brothers and sisters of the Holy Spirit. Leads me every day, usually, to pray for the wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Christ, the living Christ in us. A revelation from faith to faith and glory to glory.
Amen. Any questions? Any answers? Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I was just thinking that kind of, it seems, you're talking about John D. Lake, and it seems like he had this attitude, and I think this is like a visual way of imagining it, that this is the way we should live, is that if the world was created, you know, through Christ, and he is in it, he is what holds it all together. You know, God formed it through him. He's in everything and part of everything, and he is the word, right? Like John says, then the word of God is what holds everything together as well. So I imagine in my mind that if ever the moment that anything that's written in that word is no longer true, everything would just implode. The whole universe would disappear. Because that's the whole point of everything. It's, and we can stand on that, is that if you think something's happening, go, well, this can't be right. Well, it must be, because everything is still here. The universe hasn't disintegrated, because that's how I imagine it. The word is I will, you know, put my life on it that the word is that true. Every dot and tittle is there for a reason. And if you cannot add or take away from it, because it holds everything together, everything hinges on it, and we can put our lives on it, because I mean Jesus did. He put his life on it and saying that he is the word, and that is it. So what you're saying, Michael, is true. That's if we see something that's contrary to the word, we must then dig more into the word to try and figure out why is it so, what is going on. So and that's what the disciples asked Jesus in that instant. Why couldn't you do many mighty works in your own town? He said, well, because of your unbelief. So there's an answer. And now it's the words. Now it is written. So now we know the answer. So, but it's still true that he, and not just a hammer on, but the healing would be anything, but he heals every time. He is, everything is still true. He's not a liar. That moment that he would be saying something that's against the word, or that in that sense they would be a liar, I just imagine everything would implode. And that's the confidence that we can walk like you did on the streets and say to people, no, but it is written. So, which means it's done. There's no other way.
Amen. When we went to people on the streets, we saw a need. We'd go ask them, you know, can we pray for you? We didn't ask them, well, have you forgiven everybody? Have you, what's your generation? You know, what kind of curses we looking at? No, we went up, grabbed them by the hands, let the power of God go do his work, healed them, told them about Jesus. That was Jesus. It wasn't anything that we did. We just allowed God to use us to transfer his power into you. Don't you want to know who this is? And then we disciple, hook them up with somebody local that believed the way we did, and we hook them into the that way, you know, get them baptized, all that stuff. You can't just leave them hanging. You got to disciple them also. Think of it this way. Why did God make man? You know why he made man? Because he wanted somebody he could fellowship with and carry on his work, do the works on earth. And Adam was walking with Jesus, with the Lord every day. He was talking to him. He was conversing with him. I don't know what all they were doing. And he had the same wisdom until that woman. No, anyway, when he fell, everything went downhill from that point on until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, the resurrection brought it back. He gave us the wherewithal to be just like Adam, to walk in the cool of the morning with the Lord and talk with him and utilize the same wisdom. He's given us everything. All the blessings of heaven, he said, are available. Restore dominion. That's right, Julie. Restored all of it to us. All we have to do is find out what it is. And that's where you're studying the word and getting, you know, oh yeah, looky here. This is what I need to be doing. I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that. I don't need to be doing that.
Right.
And when you come into that realm, you start seeing the power of God working in your life. You start changing. And I'll tell you something else. Whatever you speak, you can change. If there's it doesn't make any difference. You start saying, I can hear better, bless God. I can see better, bless God. I can, I'm looking better. Bless God, my skin is back like it was when I was 30 years old. Bless God, I don't care what anybody said. You know, you start speaking every day and don't speak a curse against yourself, because there are things going on in your mind, I'm talking scientifically, when you do, that can reverse what you see as you speak it. You're speaking. What did the Lord say about your tongue? Yes, they do. They have a lot of power. You can change the way you look by your tongue. Go ahead, Isaac. I'm sorry. I got lost in myself.
Oh, no need to apologize. That's quite all right. I was enjoying it. You know, I want to tell y'all something that happened to my dad. Back, he used to be a, you know, real powerhouse for the Lord. Like, he had a lot of faith. He's not alive anymore, but he, let me put it this way. He was probably the most confident man I've ever met. Now, I know self-confidence can be a problem. And it did tend to hurt him later on down the road. But that's neither here nor there. But I remember he was always on the run, doing his own thing. He had his own tree business. He was a tree trimmer. And me and my brother, we worked pretty hard all the time. We were hardworking boys. And I remember he bought some horses. And he wanted to break these horses in. And when I say confident. He was going to break these horses in. I mean, the guy held dirt track racing records. Anything he did, anything he put his mind to, he really did. Like, he was that guy. And so he's going to break these horses in. What he's going to do. And so he went to break these horses in. This one horse had a whole bunch of spirit. And it kicked back, and the horse fell on him. And he broke his collarbone, his wrist, and his ribs. And I remember he went to the doctor, and he was in a cast. And, you know, he didn't work at a job to where, you know, he could get, like, benefits for that, you know. And we, even though he's a tree trimmer, we lived pretty poor-like. So it was going to be hard for us. And I remember he was going to church presently, too, and he was really believing. He was kind of new at this, but he was really believing in his word. And I remember one day he come to pick me up because somebody's babysitting us. And it wasn't even the same week that he literally had his collarbone broken, wrist broken, and ribs broken. And he came and he wasn't wearing anything. And I said, "Dad, what happened?" He goes, "I cast them off and I believed in faith and Jesus healed me." And he goes, "And I'm going to work." And he went to work and that was it. And it was a telling you, I've seen it from my own eyes. It's just, you know, I hope it's a blessing to you guys as it is me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. That's a good testimony. Just remember who we are in Christ, you know. That's all we got to do. Just remember who we are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, it's in the Word. We got a book. Well, it looks like we're about out of time. Anybody got any prayer requests? Well, that's right, Snip. There's two things that Lake said was hindrances to healing. One was traditions of man and doubt and unbelief of the person doing it, of the person praying. That's the two things. He said that's the two things that would hinder somebody getting healed, is the person praying for somebody, doubt and unbelief, and traditions of men. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night tonight. We thank you, Father, for answering our prayers, because you have placed great and bold faith in each and every one of us to trust you to do what you said you would in your word, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we have a commanding presence over the devil. The devil is scared everywhere we go. And he tries to get out of our way whenever we walk in. We demand it that devil is our enemy, and we're not going to put up with you anymore in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you'll follow through on everything that we pray. Everybody in here, that we believe, Father, that when we do pray, that your answers are there. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We have an overcoming power that you have given us in the Holy Spirit against this self-life and this flesh life, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for allowing each and every one of us to utilize that overcoming power and defeat the enemy of self. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us is walking that holy life, talking that holy life, and being a light to the darkness in the world right now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for blessing all my brothers and sisters with a good night's sleep tonight, with good dreams and visions, Father, of the times ahead. And I thank you, Father, for showing us some more of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, and we want some more of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Yeah.